Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. Joining me from the Pro-Life Action League, thank you, John, for joining me, and how are you today?
Happy to be here, Dave. Doing great, thanks.
All right, and thanks for agreeing to come on, Spirit of the Delaware Valley. I wanted John to come on so we can talk about the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children, which happened in the U.S. last Saturday, and time was not of the essence and availability to do it beforehand. So I asked John if he would mind coming on and doing a retrospective, and he can give us, you know, like an after-action report, how that went. Before we get to that, John, why don't you introduce yourself and your work at the Pro-Life Action League, and how long have you been there?
Sure. Again, Dave, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about this event and, you know, more largely the work that we do at Pro-Life Action League. Many of your listeners may know the name Joe Scheidler. Joe Scheidler was the founder of Pro-Life Action League and was our national director for from 1980, from the time that he founded Pro-Life Action League, until his death in 2021. Joe had been working in public relations in the early 1970s, and when the Roe versus Wade decision came down from the Supreme Court, he was, you know, like so many pro-life Americans, was just flabbergasted, like, how could this possibly happen? And he ended up quitting his job, and quite well for himself, but he realized that he had a duty and a mission to go full-time into pro-life work. Mm-hmm. And so he worked for a couple different groups in that time, founded one group that kind of got off the ground for a few years and then ultimately folded, but then founded Pro-Life Action League in 1980, and with the idea that someone had to be on the ground, and that there had to be boots on the ground fighting abortion and working with people and giving people instructions and marching orders, you might say, for fighting mm-hmm. abortion in their own local communities. And that's what the Pro-Life Action League has been all about ever since, giving people the tools needed to fight abortion in their local communities, whether that's praying outside of their local abortion clinic or leading a pro-life march in their town, leading a prayer vigil, singing Christmas carols outside of abortion clinics, things like that. Mm-hmm. Very often we hear from people who are fired up about the pro-life issue. They want to get involved fighting abortion, but they just don't know where to start. They need, you know, they need a mission. They need guidance. And so that's what we're here to do at Pro-Life Action League, is mm-hmm. to give people those tools. So we've always been about this, but Joe Scheidler was all about, and now his son Eric, who is our executive director, we've continued that mission on. I started with work here at the Pro-Life Action League in 2004, so almost 20 years ago now. I originally had started with focusing primarily on youth outreach, helping kids get pro-life clubs started in their schools. That's what I did for quite some time. Now my responsibilities have kind of shifted more toward various other things. One of the main things that I do is to kind of serve as the main point of contact and coordinator for these nationwide events that we do throughout the year. One of which is, then the largest of which is, the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children, mm-hmm. which, Dave, as you mentioned, we just celebrated a few days ago. It's observed annually on the second Saturday of September. So this year it was September 9th. And the idea behind the National Day of Remembrance is simple. It's basically just encouraging people to go to primarily to go to the burial sites of aborted babies. Now, there are only about 60 known burial sites of aborted babies in the entire country that we're aware of. And so that's the primary purpose, is to go. We encourage people to go and honor the children who are buried at these the actual burial sites. You know, we're Catholic. We believe in, mm-hmm. in the importance of being physically present at a place, you know, and that's why it's not just enough to, you know, to pray on Sunday, although we can pray anywhere, of course, we know that, but it's more important to actually go to Mass and to receive, you know, our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, mm-hmm. you know, physically, to actually be there. And so it's kind of a similar idea. It's kind of taking that sacramental worldview mm-hmm. and recognizing that there's an importance, that it's one thing to pray for an end to abortion, to honor the victims of abortion, but it's even better, I guess, to go to their actual burial places. Mm-hmm. Now, for some people, that's practically impossible because there isn't a burial site near them. In those cases, then, what we encourage people to do is to go to a memorial site dedicated to the victims of abortion, or just dedicated to, you know, unborn children more generally, and
well,
to
John,
hold them up there.
If I can jump in here. Well, thank you for that. And that's what I did last weekend, last Saturday, those few days ago. And I asked Lisa Liccioni if she would be kind to come on last minute, and she is here. You talked about just going to a memorial site, not an actual burial site, and that's what Our Lady of Grace Cemetery is. And I'm going to have her say a few words, if you don't mind, about that.
Absolutely, that's great.
Go ahead,
wonderful.
Please.
Hi, John. It's a pleasure to hear your voice again. You and I have spoken for the years.
Yes, that's right.
With the coordinating of the National Day of Remembrance of Aborted Children, which is so very important to remember. And that's what our Lord has asked us to do, even in the Mass, do this in remembrance of me. There's great power in that. So thank you for all your efforts and your work in doing that. I can't believe that all these years have passed, and I believe more people's hearts are being inspired to come out and join us on the second day every year, the second weekend, the second Saturday of September every year. So thank you.
Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Well, thanks, John.
And Lisa, I want to thank you too, for because you've led services, you know, for many years now, and I think there would be no National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children if it weren't for local leaders like yourself in communities all across the country. I mean, this is the largest annual event that we do. There are different ones we do throughout the year. This is the largest one. Personally, it's my favorite one. This wouldn't happen if there weren't local people, you know, communities all across the country who answer the call and just say, I'm willing to do this. Yeah, I'll be the volunteer. No one else has volunteered. I'll do it. You know, I'll step up and do it.
Well, John, Dave here. Well, elaborate on, like, why is it your favorite? I mean, give some more depth and breadth to that versus the other things you do, which are also pro-life. But why is that day more special in your heart?
Sure. I think, if speaking personally, the event that our group, we coordinate this event nationwide, but in addition to that, our group, Pro-Life Action League, sponsors one of the services of our own. So it's not just something we tell other people to do, we actually do it ourselves as well. The service that we hold every year is at one of the burial sites. Of over 2,000, in fact, I didn't know the exact number, it's 2,033 victims of abortion who are buried at Queen of Heaven Cemetery in Hillside, Illinois, just outside Chicago. And just when I call to mind the whole story of how these babies came to be buried there, it's just, I'm brought to tears every year when I go to this service, primarily because we have, there's a local high school choir that we have come and sing, and they're very talented choir, and they sing these just beautiful songs. One of which is the last one that we always end with. It's a Coventry Carol. It's a newer rendition of Coventry Carol, which is about it's a Christmas song, but it's about really the slaughter of the innocents, and it's just hauntingly beautiful. As people place flowers on the grave sites, this song is sung about the slaughter of the innocents and calling to mind, you know, their death, their murder, you know, 2,000 years ago, and then the killing of unborn children. Mm-hmm. And just thinking also about how these babies came to be buried, because there's a whole long story there that I don't have all the details right at the top of mind.
I was going to ask you to elaborate.
I can give you a little bit of detail.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
that's
what
fine.
I can tell you is that this is around 1987, there was a pathology lab in the Chicago area, in Northbrook, Illinois, just north of Chicago, that was essentially like a processing center for abortion clinics from all across the country, where these babies' remains were being brought, and then they were ultimately slated for being incinerated. Mm-hmm. That's sadly what most often happens to the victims of abortion. And one of the employees of this pathology lab realized what they were. He realized these are babies that were killed by abortion, and he had a conscience. And he contacted Joe Scheidler, our founder at Pro Life Actioning, and said, I've got these, it was literally thousands of aborted babies' remains. Mm. I don't know what to do with them. Can you take them and give them a proper burial? I don't even know what exactly went down, but Joe said, sure, I'll take them. And so over the course of several weeks, there were, it was involving an employee leaving a door open or leaving after hours. There were pro-lifers who came and rescued these babies' remains. And for a while, Joe Scheidler didn't know what to do with them. And so for a time period, they were just stored in his garage until they could find a funeral home.
I did not know that piece. Yeah.
It's a fascinating story. It really is. And then ultimately what was done is, as much as possible, because it was known where the baby's remains came from, like which abortion clinics these baby's remains came from. And as much as possible, there was an effort made to find pro-lifers in local communities, as close as possible to where these abortions had taken place, and asked, essentially, the baby's remains were returned home. And so that's why, in Wilmington, Delaware, and Raleigh, North Carolina, and places all across the country where these babies' remains had come from, they were returned to and they were placed in the ground. And so I don't have the number at hand, but a good portion of the known burial sites stemmed from that particular rescue, you might say, of their remains so that they could be buried.
Thank you. I was going to say, a week and a half ago when I listened to Al Cresta program on EWTN, and I heard Eric, and then the woman who also came in that Al was interviewing, Mr. Al Cresta, she elaborated on that. I don't remember her name right now.
Monica Miller, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And, Dr. Monica Miller.
That just struck me as it said. I mean, I was flabbergasted to hear the story, and you just recounted it briefly, and thank you. But yes, that's horrific. But had it not been for that open door and then the discovery of those fetuses, aborted fetuses, never would have happened. So,
exactly.
It's just, praise God, it was discovered.
Praise
God, exactly. And then, as you say, it was Joe Scheidler at the time, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Anything else that you want to say in terms of the history of this organization? What I wanted to do is do like a retrospective, because I think initially I was trying to get you on like the Friday before the Saturday it was going to happen, which didn't happen because of time constraints, and we thought it would be better to push it after the fact. So, because you said where you are, you roll up a lot of data. You're collecting feedback from the various sites. So, how did it go? Do you have enough of that data collated, you can speak about it?
Exactly. Yeah, I'd be happy to share some tidbits, some highlights from the event. What I can tell you is that, well, looking back, it was 10 years ago that the first National Day of Remembrance was held. Mm-hmm. So in 2013. So just a couple days ago, we celebrated the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross on September 14th. It was that day, 10 years ago, that we held the first National Day of Remembrance for aborted children. At that time, there were just over 100 services that were held nationwide. Since then, the event has more than doubled in size. This year we had, 209 memorial services were held all across the country. Mm-hmm. So we're really happy just that this event has really kind of taken on a life of its own and just taken off. And there's such a desire of people to be part of it. One of the things that we hear about every year is that there are, people who have terrible weather, and yet they go ahead with it anyway. And there was, Cumberland, Rhode Island, there was a downpour, but people, stayed and prayed nonetheless. They were faithful to the end there. One of the things that we're very encouraged by is the consistent presence each year of a number of our bishops across the country, our shepherds who are invited and come. And are a part of services. Little Rock, Arkansas, Bishop Anthony Taylor was present there at the service there. Archbishop Joseph Naumann officiated at the service in Kansas City, Kansas. The former USCCB Pro-Life Secretariat, one of our most powerful and outspoken bishops. Mm-hmm. Bishop Ronald Hicks, Bishop of Joliet, Illinois, officiated at a service in Romeoville at a burial site there. So it's just we're so encouraged by the presence of our shepherds when they come out, because this is something that we do in concert with them. This is not it's interesting because this is not specifically a Catholic event. Mm-hmm. Pro-Life Action League and Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, the two groups that sponsor this event, are not officially affiliated with the church or with our local dioceses, although practically speaking, we're all of our employees at Pro-Life Action League currently are Catholic. I think that's also mm-hmm. true of Citizens for Pro-Life Society. Mm-hmm. But it just happens that this particular event, it's probably 95% of the sites are at Catholic churches or Catholic cemeteries. Mm-hmm. There are a handful of Protestant ones as well. I'm not almost sure what to make of that. I think, like I talked earlier about the sacramental worldview, I think that plays a big part in it. This idea of going physically to a place, and being present at something physically, that we Catholics kind of instinctively maybe get that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A little more perhaps mm-hmm. than our Protestant brothers and sisters. But, mm-hmm. One of the things though that I think I'm always struck by this event every year, and we had one particular, woman wrote to us actually before the event. I want to share what she wrote. This was on the National Day of Remembrance Facebook page. If I can just read this
short absolutely.
A few sentences, what she wrote. This is a woman, I'm not sure where she's from, but she was planning to travel to Sarasota, Florida, where there was a memorial site taking place. I think she was happening to be traveling there. This is what she wrote. I lost my grandchild to abortion in May 2023 and have not been able to find a way to honor him. The doctors would not allow the remains to be turned over to me for burial. I never thought I would be in this situation. It was forced upon me, and I'm trying to navigate this awful journey of finding forgiveness for my own child who made this decision and mourning the loss of my precious baby grandson. That's why we do this event. I mean, mm-hmm. it's for people like this, for grandparents, for parents, for aunts and uncles, for friends, because we're all, all of us are touched by abortion in some way.
Absolutely.
I mean, some people are directly responsible themselves, but they're, others are, it's going to be a child of theirs, like this woman, there's a need for remembrance. There's a need for honoring the memory of these aborted children.
Absolutely. John, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, John, I was going to say, we have a good amount of time left. But what I wanted to say now on the other events that you do besides the National Day of Remembrance, how are you involved with the March for Life in Washington and in the state that you live? I mean, Pennsylvania has the March for Life coming up soon in Harrisburg. I plan on going to it, but those kind of events, are you involved as well in the pro-life marches?
Absolutely, yes. The March for Life in particular is the event that we have gone to every year. In fact, Joe Scheider, when he was alive, went every year. I think he may have missed the very first one, but after that went every year, and it's always an event that we go to. I think the way I think of the pro-life, the March for Life in Washington is kind of like a big pro-life family reunion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Seeing people who you haven't seen in a long time, and you reconnect with people, and you mm-hmm. get a chance to swap stories and swap ideas, and one of the things that we have done in the past couple times in the past is to run workshops in conjunction with the March for Life, where we'll mm-hmm. conduct a workshop on one of them was on how to investigate an abortion clinic, how to file a Freedom of Information Act request and find out what is going on in your local abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that we do on a regular basis here at Pro-Life Action League. In fact, just before we recorded this interview, I filed a Freedom of Information Act request about a local abortion clinic here in the Chicago area to find out about any 911 calls that had been made to that abortion clinic. But that's mm-hmm. something that some people don't have any idea that they can do that. But that's a thing. That's a thing that you can do, and that's mm-hmm. one of the ways that you can be involved in the fight against abortion. Joe Scheidler, our founder, said, do something pro-life every day. That's one thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. And if anyone listening is wondering, how do I do that in my local area? Get in touch with us at Pro-Life Action. You just go to our website, prolifeaction.org. You can fill out our contact form. You say, I'm looking to do this. How do I do this? How do I file a Freedom of Information Act request about my local abortion clinic? We'll be getting in touch with you and give you all the tools to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, thank you for that, because that was my next segue. I was going to segue to exactly what you said on how people can, contact you. And, you know, as part of my warm-up in the interview, I read, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to their website and you can go down. There's a laundry list, as John had just said. So what are some of the other things or areas that people go to your site for to so they can execute something on their own?
You know, it's interesting. I just happened to notice this the other day in our Google search results. You know, Google sends these automated things to each group that has a website, which is just about everybody. Okay, mm-hmm. One of the things that is the leading thing that leads people to our site is a page that we have on our website that explains how to distinguish between public and private property. Because if you're carrying out a protest,
yes,
outside mm-hmm. an abortion clinic, you need to know where the public property line ends and where the private property line ends, because you're free to stand on public property. You're not free to stand on private property, you know, that belongs mm-hmm. to an abortion clinic.
Well, hey, John, I was going to say, I mean, great minds think alike, because when I was looking at the list prior to me getting to the station, that's what I centered on. I'm glad you touched upon that. Yeah, I mean, there's an abortion, a Planned Parenthood in Warminster, PA, and I've gone to some, prayer vigils out in front of that. But I know a lot of the people that organize that say, no, you can't stand here, move over here. You know, people that are new to that site, and they're just kind of, they learn. I learned. I can't stand there because of the property issue, you know?
Exactly, right.
It's a very
right.
good point.
And that's... Yeah, you'd be surprised, or maybe not, I guess, how many times we get questions like that from people saying, like, you know, is it legal? Can I stand outside an abortion clinic and, mm-hmm. and pray, you know? And so often, I think, and sometimes we on the pro-life movement, because we're sort of inclined to, you know, want to be good citizens and follow the law, we're very obedient. And so if someone, you know, sometimes from an abortion clinic even comes out and says, you can't stand here, some people think, oh, well, I can't stand there. Well, no. We have to tell people. You know, if someone's got a gun and a badge and they tell you you can't stand there, well then, okay, don't stand there. In that case, they're a police officer, yeah. Then you can, you know, basically the short answer is that we give tell people is obey now, grieve later. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a whole lot easier to do that. And we have some fantastic attorneys at the Thomas More Society Pro-Life Law Center in Chicago that we have referred people to all over the country where police have overstepped their bounds, you know, and mm-hmm. said, you know, and violated their rights. But basically, the short answer is we tell people, if you're on a public sidewalk, you're free to do that. You're free to be there. And if someone from an abortion clinic tells you you can't stand there, don't listen to them. Go yep. ahead and just, you know, continue doing what you're doing. Cool. This used to happen pretty regularly when I would stand outside an abortion clinic in Chicago, mm-hmm. There would be a security guard come out and just say, hey, you're not allowed to stand there, blah, blah, blah. And I would just ignore him. I'd just keep praying, and then I would just, mm-hmm. I'd just ignore him until they went away. Because
yeah. Well, hey, John, let me jump in here because, as you, I'm sure you're aware of the Mark Houck situation.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
that's
a horrific
local.
Situation. My gosh,
yeah, that's local. And I went to, well... just an aside, Mark used to have a show here at Holy Spirit Radio. I know Mark.
Is that right?
Yeah. And, he has an apostolate called the Kingsmen. But anyway, so right now, I that just resonated with me because that was one of the issues that they charged him with, the violation of the Federal FACE Act, which he
yes,
won.
That's
the,
right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he won the suit. He won. You know, praise God. Anyway,
praise God indeed.
I put in a plug for that. I know him from here at the station, years ago. But yeah, so everyone knows the Mark Houck situation, or a lot of them know about it, more so than before that incident happened to, you know, Mark and his family. So anyways, but keep him and the family in prayer. I just ask that because it's
Absolutely.
Real. It's visceral. You talk about being visceral. When you know somebody it happened to.
Right, exactly. And I think when I first heard about that situation, I was horrified, as we all were, I think. And I mean, our main concern at Pro-Life Action League was the chilling effect that would have, that some people could think, well, I can't go to my local abortion clinic because the same thing could happen to me. Mm-hmm. And okay, yes, that's always theoretically possible, but you know, we still have to go out there. We still
yes.
have to go out there, and we still have to, you know, come what may, You know, come what may, we have to go out and bear witness, and it might be difficult sometimes, but still we have to go out and do it. So, this might be a good time, Dave, if I could, to put in a plug for 40 Days for Life coming
up. Yes, please.
In just a few days.
We have a few minutes, and then I'm going to ask you after you do that if we can go to a close. But can you close us with a prayer?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We thank you for Holy Spirit Radio. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the gift of communication, being able to spread the gospel of your Son, our Lord Jesus, to all the people of the Delaware Valley and anyone else online who's listening to this anywhere in the country and around the world. But we thank you for so many blessings that you have given to us, that you have given to all of us, the blessing of liberty in this country, the blessings of our constitution, of our rights that we have there enumerated in the amendments to the Constitution. We thank you for, although this is not a perfect country, far from perfect, Lord, we thank you that we have some lawmakers who are still committed to doing what is right, and we pray for them. We ask you to give them courage, and we ask you to raise up and encourage all those who are maybe a little bit afraid of going out to an abortion clinic in their area, to pray or to sidewalk counsel. Pray that they may be infused with a spirit of courage, a spirit of fortitude to go out and do what is right and bear witness to the gospel of life. Make these prayers in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
To the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Hey, well, thank you, John. Hey, that was a good prayer, but you wanted to say something about, 40 Days for Life.
Oh, yes, right, 40 Days for Life, right. So 40 Days for Life is, I got carried away there. 40 Days for Life, as many of your listeners may know, is a prayer vigil that goes for, 40 days, as its name indicates. Starts September 27th, runs through November 5th, taking place at locations all across the country. The idea is simple. You can just go to there's a good chance that there is an abortion clinic in your area, wherever you're listening to, that's sponsoring one of these vigils, and you can sign up for a time slot to go and pray outside of that abortion clinic and to be a witness. You can go to the 40 Days for Life website, 40daysforlife.com. It's a great way of getting people involved in, especially if you've never done something before. What I can also point out regarding 40 Days for Life is we have a prayer book here at Pro Life Action League called the Life Witness Prayer Book. It's divided into four separate hours centered on sets of Mysteries of the Rosary, joyful, luminous, sorrowful, and glorious, along with Stations of the Cross and various litanies. If anyone wants one of those prayer, it's a great way to spend your time if you're going out to 40 Days for Life. So if you go to our website, prolifeaction.org, on our store page, that book is there, and you can get one and order it. And it's a great way to use your prayer time when you're out there at your local abortion clinic for 40 Days for Life.
All right, John. Thank you. John Jansen of the Pro-Life Action League, the project coordinator. And one more time, give your website and contact information for any of our listeners of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, how they might get in touch with you again.
Sure. Our website is prolifeaction.org. Again, prolifeaction.org.
All right. Well, John, thank you. And from the bottom of my heart, it was about a week and a half ago that we talked, and I responded on the website and a questionnaire, and you contacted me. So I want to help from my role, from my vantage point of working at this beautiful Holy Spirit Radio in Doylestown in Philadelphia, to get this the word out further to our listeners. Okay? Well, thank you very much.
All right.
And this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, wishing you a great day and a holy day, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.